Hey, Patrick here. We love our Saturday meeting, am I right? But hearing from one another 30 minutes a week can only do so much. We can sometimes believe that we're all alone in the trials and tribulations of this weight loss thing. This podcast seeks to challenge this belief by talking with familiar faces who will share their experiences, helpful suggestions, and insights about their journey. The good, the bad, and hopefully, the hilarious. This is about us, you and me, ordinary people working on improving our health, reducing our relationship with gravity, and most importantly, supporting one another. Welcome to Weighing In with Patrick, the Meeting After the Meeting podcast. We are here, episode numero two. Pardon any of that microphone noise. So thank you for tuning in, if you're tuning in. My name is Patrick, and this is the Weighing In with Patrick podcast. This podcast is meant to be a supplement of support for members of Rock Hill WW, primarily the Saturday meeting, only because we're most familiar with the folks that attend that. But if you attend any other meetings, not just in Rock Hill or anywhere else, thank you so much for tuning in. We're very happy to have you, and hopefully you'll find this helpful, or maybe the very least interesting / entertaining. So this is episode number two. We worked out some technical issues. We're having a hard time figuring out how to get two microphones hooked up so that it can record, and I have found some low-cost options to make that happen, and so here we are. Thank you, YouTube. YouTube, what would we do without you? In the first episode, I just presented kind of, hopefully, a brief background as to how I got here. I didn't mention, only because I don't think it's a huge thing necessarily. But I am at lifetime, I'm not at my lifetime weight, or at least my goal weight. I've fluctuated over the last, year and a half or so, in and around 5 to 8 to 10 pounds, the good news is, of course, that I haven't needed to go up in size in any clothing, and I'm still pleased with how I look, and more importantly, how I feel, and all of my numbers at the doctor's office are good. Everything is within the normal range, everything. And the numbers that you want to be low are low, and it probably the first time in my life that's probably ever happened, as it relates to, when I've had control of what goes in my mouth and down my gullet. So why don't we go ahead and jump into today's episode, which is... we have a guest, our very first guest. This individual is one of my heroes. This person is very committed to exercise, movement on a daily basis. She does not allow a scale to dictate what she's going to do.
and perhaps maybe she'll talk a little bit more about that. But guest number one is my darling, my lovely wife, the one, the many, Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, hon.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you agree to do this, I wonder? I didn't pressure you.
No, you didn't pressure me. First, it's set up in our living room. Second...
What do you mean by that?
I mean, our podcast studio is now...
Are you saying that you did it just because there's stuff in the living room?
No, I did it because we've been doing this together. We've been doing life together almost 21 years, mm-hmm. married. Mm-hmm. But we've also been doing this WW thing on and off for many years, but... this last iteration since April 10th, 2021.
Yeah. And for those folks who may not know your background, why don't you just give us the brief, this is where I'm from type of background story. Where are you from? Where have you been?
Well, I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, famous The Office, and grew up in a family of four. I have an older brother, 7 years older than me, and a mom and a dad, from a large extended family, lots of cousins, and spent my time there, then went to college in Western New York State, St. Bonaventure University. After that, did some volunteer work in Philadelphia, and that's actually where you and I met. I've been a campus minister at a university for over 20 years, which is what brought us down here to Rock Hill. I'm currently with Winthrop University.
Well, actually, a moving truck brought us to Rock Hill, but
yes,
the purpose of our relocation...
was my job.
Right. When do you recall weight being an issue for you? And that assumes that it was an issue for you.
So, growing up in my household, there was always signs of diet things. My mother was very careful, and so we had, like, diet soda, and we'd even have, you know, like, the Snackwells cookies, you know, various diet things.
The Snackwells, were those the low-fat cookies?
Yeah, low-fat or fat-free, but...
And high in sugar.
Yeah, and people ate too many of them mm-hmm. in the, like, 80s, 90s.
It's amazing for fat-free. I can't figure out why.
Yeah, so... You know, and my dad's side of the family, you know, my grandmother, heavy, my dad, you know, beer belly, a lot of my uncles, similar. My mother's side of the family was slender. So I guess I think I'd always been aware of, you know, that possibility. But as a kid, I was pretty active in baton twirling and also dance, tap, ballet, and jazz. And I would say I was in the normal weight range. You know, there were girls who were thinner than me, and there were girls who were heavier than me. But there was always kind of this, like, constant, you know, you have a uniform, you have a costume to wear. And so, not that I ever, at that time, did things like to restrict eating or things like that, but I was just always very aware, like, you have to fit into a uniform. You aren't as skinny as, you know, the skinniest girl. So it was something that was, I guess I've been very aware of since I would say at least 10, if not younger.
So and being aware of that, was there any emotion attached to that awareness? And that's, again, I'm not saying that you should have had emotions attached to that, but I'm just wondering.
Well, I think there was a lot of, you know, I think my mother had a big fear of her children becoming overweight. Even my brother had kind of struggled with, he was a little bit heavier as a child and then kind of thinned out. And so I think she was worried about that with me. Like, she didn't want me to become overweight. And so, you know, she could be kind of critical. She could question, you know, me wanting more or me wanting dessert or things like that. So it just always kind of felt, I don't know, just kind of yucky. And
yucky.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
What do you mean by yucky?
Like, she, I was just very aware of weight and very aware of, like, even what I was putting in my mouth and whether I might be criticized for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And your mother passed away in what year?
94.
And I've seen photographs of her, and she was a very petite lady.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think she ever had a weight problem, but I think she always feared gaining weight.
Did she have any heavier people in her? On her side of the family?
No, her family was always pretty slender.
Like, I met her mother, and she was very dainty as well.
Yeah, it was really my dad's side of the family, like the Murphys. Right.
And when do you remember that? When do you first remember those? Comments maybe, or those admonishments, you know, don't go back for seconds. Any idea? Like, how early in your life did that begin?
Like I said, I think a lot of it was very much around getting into uniforms and getting into costumes. So I would say it was like 10, 11, somewhere around there.
What about peers? Did you have any issues with your peers? Did you feel any ridicule, or were you constantly comparing yourself to peers who maybe didn't have any weight issues?
I think sometimes I would compare myself to, like I said, maybe some of the slimmer girls who were in baton twirling or who were in dance classes. But truthfully, I really didn't let it bother me. I was never bullied for it. You know, no one ever made me feel like I was heavy or things like that. Like I said, for the most part, you know, and not that I really want to speak ill of the dead, you know, my mother is a wonderful person, love her very much, miss her very much, but there were times when she was very critical, and I really think it came down to, I think, her fear of if I were to gain weight or if my brother were to gain weight, like maybe how we'd be treated. Mm-hmm. And so I think she didn't want that for us. And I don't know what her hang-ups really were with weight, but, like, she definitely was someone who was very conscious of what she ate. Like I said, even though she never had a weight problem, but she was very conscious of the things she put in her mouth. And I guess she was just kind of looking out for us, but at times it kind of came off as criticism.
And, you know, speaking of criticism, so... Again, you know, I don't want to just, you know, focus on negative, and life is terrible, that stuff, right? Because I think we both share the opinion that life's pretty darn good. But what do you think, and you feel free to decline to answer, right? There's no rule that says you have to answer any question. But what do you think it was, if there were any... What criticisms did you hear that voice in your head make of you? How did you criticize yourself, if at all?
Well, I think when I was younger, I didn't really criticize myself. Like, I think a lot of it, like I said, kind of came from her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I really began to gain more weight that I would start to, you know, think I was worthless or didn't like how I looked or, you know, that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say that as a kid I was I don't think I was very critical of myself.
And did you don't think you were very
critical? No.
Okay. And so in what ways, again, if any, do you think being at higher weights in your life, did it ever limit you? Did you ever tell yourself, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that because I'm heavier?
You know, I never really tried to limit myself. And in some ways, I would kind of feel good if I did achieve something despite my weight. Mm-hmm. Like other people might have been shy to do something because I'm heavy or something like that. And so I kind of pushed through a lot of those things. I mean, I think there's definitely things I probably didn't do just because, you know, I was heavier or couldn't do it. But there were also things that, like, I didn't let my weight limit me. And I don't know if some of it was also, like, a little bit of delusion, too. Like, that I truly maybe didn't know how heavy I was at times, you know? I think sometimes we look in the mirror and we just see us and maybe don't, if we're not paying attention to the scale or not paying attention to what we're eating, we can kind of just like float through life in that way. So I just kept, you know, moving through life. Like
Dryer shrunk these pants.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be the times when I would recognize it. Like, oh gosh, these pants are too tight. Or, oh gosh, I have a big event. I have a wedding to go to. I need to buy a new dress. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be times where I might beat myself up and just think, like, why, you know, why are you on this roller coaster of kind of like up and down and up and down? But, you know, like, I know I've had friends who maybe didn't really date because of their weight. But, like, I never kind of let that... I mean, if I let that happen, you and I wouldn't have been... You know, if I was closed off to, like, dating, even though I was heavier, then, like, would you and I even have been together, you know? I never kind of let it get in my way for those kind of things or for, like, jobs or school. I just... I don't know. I'm somewhat achieving and have goals, and so I just forge through even though... You know, I wasn't in a healthy goal. I wasn't in a healthy weight range.
So when you look back, like what were some of the ingredients into the out? You know, into you know, like how you gained weight. Like when you look back, like how did that happen? And do you think it was like slow? Like, you know, what's the thing? How do you boil a frog?
Yeah.
Right. You know, really, really slowly. Like for you, were you a slow weight gainer, a fast weight gainer, and, or both, or, you know, a hybrid? Like what? What do you think?
Well, I think for me, you know, I'd kind of, when I was a teenager, I really feel like there were kind of two times of me gaining weight. So there was probably like around 15. And some of that was I had a boyfriend and we would go out to eat a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't paying attention. Like I had a boyfriend and we were going on dates and it was fun. But I did notice that my weight was creeping up a little bit. And so that was...
Did he gain weight?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. So, you know, happy, you know, gaining weight, going out to eat, whatever.
Sure.
And so I do remember, and this was, my like kind of diet at the time was I was going to eat, maybe not even eat breakfast. I haven't been really a breakfast person. Have something, you know, decent for lunch. And then
I've been working on that breakfast person thing.
I know, you haven't. I've
really been trying to manicure your love of breakfast.
I know. But in the evening, I would have a healthy choice, you know, frozen meal.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the thing is, I don't know what, like, nowadays, I wouldn't know what points they are or whatever, but it was something where, like, I didn't snack. So, I mean, I must have been eating, like, a lower amount of calories. So, I did actually lose, I don't even know how much it was. I mean, it might have been 10 or 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. But I remember, now my mother was living at this time, and I remember she rewarded me. It was going to be my birthday, and she had kind of promised me like one outfit for my birthday. But because I had lost the weight, I got three outfits. So again,
were you excited? For you, is that a good gift for you?
It was exciting. I've never really been like a clothes person, but it was kind of neat. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, now I get this. But at the same time, it kind of messed me up with like, it almost thinking back of it as an adult now, it was almost like, oh, well, what, I have more value because I'm slimmer? I don't know. It just kind of messed, it kind of messed with my mind,
what
too.
What do you think she was trying to do?
Well, I think she was trying to encourage me, but again, the criticism and things like that, I don't know. Looking back on it, it just seems...
So criticism when she interpreted your behavior as, you know, possibly dangerous towards gaining weight, and then she would, you know, shower you with stuff when you...
When I committed and lost weight.
Committed and lost weight.
Right.
Any signs, in your opinion, of, well, let me ask this. In you, what's your definition of disordered eating?
So, I mean, yeah, I definitely had disordered eating. And for me, it's always been overeating. So even as a kid, when, like I said, you know, she might criticize eating dessert or going up for seconds or things like that, there were times that I definitely snuck food because I felt like I couldn't do it in the open. So that was, to me, a disordered eating.
So, and if you were sneaking food, does that mean that when you got to wherever your food destination, you know, once you got to where you wanted to eat it, were you eating the food quickly?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
gorging on it, like, boom, like, gone.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things, like, maybe, you know, her and my dad would go to bed and, like, oh, I might, you know, go to the fridge for a little bit, yeah, you know, because they're in bed, so, like, they won't know. But I got, yeah, got to do it quickly because, you know, don't want them to find out.
Right. So, secretive.
Yeah, secretive.
Gorging. And so, forgive me, were you a, did you gain weight quickly?
So, all right, so getting back to that, so I kind of talked about this time where I think I did kind of gain that weight quickly because, again, eating out and things like that, but then kind of lost it, was able to take that off. But really, my weight gain that I held on to for like 30 years was after my mother died. So after she died, you know, people bring food when you're grieving.
Yeah.
And so lots of food showed up at the house. And, you know, I was a good host. So when people were over, again, grieving, we'd have the food out. But when they would all go home, the food would stay. And for whatever reason, again, sadness. But I guess I kind of felt like, well, time to eat. And so, you know, we'd have lots of food in the house. And my dad and I would eat, grief eat, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that kind of began the weight gain, because then I think there was a point where I didn't really care.
How old were you at that point?
I was 17.
17.
It was the end of my junior year of high school, you know, which was a fun time because I was getting ready to be a senior. I was getting ready to decide on a college. You know, I had a boyfriend, like, I had a job, I was a part of the pom-pom squad, like, I had a lot going on, and of course...
And you didn't attend any beer parties in high school.
And I did not attend any beer parties.
And you say you had fun.
I did.
That is the most depressing, and you call yourself a Murphy.
I had a lot of fun, but this, of course, was a very, you know, traumatic event at that time. And so, I think there was a point where, in the past... I was somewhat, you know, maybe there were parameters that she kept in the house. Like I mentioned, diet soda or maybe lower calorie things. At that point, it was just me and my dad living there. And like, we really did not care. Like, it was regular soda in the house. It was snacks in the house. It was really, I mean, I wasn't really cooking. He wasn't a cook. We were ordering pizza, or we were getting takeout, or we were doing all of the convenience things. And that did lead to, and plus it was my senior year the next year, and, you know, having whatever, you know, being with your friends and, again, eating out. So then I really think, I do remember this specifically. So I was I was on the pom-pom squad, and we had like cheerleading outfits, and there was a point where I was having to pin my skirt because I could not get it to button anymore. So I had to put a pin through the hole and kind of pin my skirt. So like at the beginning of the summer or the beginning of the fall, when football season started, my skirt fit.
Right.
But kind of by like November, December, like I was pinning it because I was gaining weight, but it was like, that was my skirt for the year. Like it wasn't like I could get a new skirt.
Couldn't go down to the cheerleading outfit store.
Right. Yeah.
Get a replacement. Right.
Yeah.
So how many times have you, in your best estimation, how many times have you tried to lose weight?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I could count.
Do you think it was more than 5?
Yes.
Do you think it might be more than 10?
Yes.
Do you think it might be more than 15? And I want to be clear, by tried to lose weight, that's even if an effort went a week before maybe you abandoned ship.
Then, sure.
Okay.
More than 15. I mean, yeah. I mean, joining Weight Watchers alone from my middle 20s till now, I mean, alone that had to be 5 to 10 times. Because sometimes you and I join together, and sometimes I would just rejoin myself. So I would say that's got to be at least 5 to 8 times.
So how many times have we done Weight Watchers?
I don't know.
Four times?
Like a lot. But I've done it myself, rejoining without true. You.
Right.
So I don't know. I know you and I had joined, I think, at least 3 times together. Because I think we did it pretty soon after we got married, like maybe 04, 05. Then I think we did it like 2010. We did it at least 3 times.
Right.
But I rejoined at times on my own. And I would go to meetings by myself.
What is your recollection of those previous attempts with Weight Watchers?
So usually when I would walk through the door, it was because I was kind of at the end of my rope. You know, it was like, I got to do something, you know? And so there's...
How would that... Like, when you say the end of your rope, what do you mean? Like, what was going on that you were like, this, no, I really have to lose weight? Like, what was happening or what was informing you that that was something you had to do?
I think some of it was sometimes maybe I did not want to go up another pant size, but I probably should have, you know, like very tight clothes. Just feeling like didn't want to look at myself in the mirror, just really did not like how I looked. Or if I looked at myself in the mirror, I'd look at my face, not look at the rest of my body. You know, I think maybe even sleeping, like just everything kind of compounded, like just felt overall, just kind of felt icky. So, walked through the door of Weight Watchers, and then it was like, while I was feeling that way, it was like also a boost of, you know, okay, well, at least I'm starting. You know, I'm starting somewhere. And then usually I've found the coaches to be very helpful, and they want to kind of orient you and kind of tell you about the program.
Shout out to Deb Rubin.
That's right.
Tioga County, Pennsylvania.
Yes. And, you know, coaches we've had over the years, and just wanting to start new, you know, and then almost panicking because what am I going to eat? Because, like, maybe I was eating fast food, or maybe I was eating, like, I was used to eating maybe higher point things. So it's almost like, what do I you know, got to go back to the books, got to go back to the basics. Like, what are the things I need to fill my home with and that I can eat in order to stay? I mean, Weight Watcher says you can eat anything, but for me at that point was really like staying in my points, staying at a certain, you know, points level.
So are you saying that it, like it was, you had a, there was kind of like an air of uncertainty coupled with some fear of like, well, what is going to be available for me? How like, do you mean like how drastic of a change am I going to have to make here type thing?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I mean, even when you and I went back in 2021, I remember Sherry talking to us, but I remember leaving that day and like kind of looking at the materials and thinking,
Coach Sherry,
shout out to Coach Sherry, and thinking like, okay, what can I eat for breakfast? All right, well, eggs, 0 points, and
anything you want,
right? But the problem was I would eat anything I want, and that's what got me to a heavier weight.
You can't eat anything you want. It's that, you know, like me, I would tend to eat everything I want. You know, like all of it. Not just an egg, but like 7 eggs.
Right. So if I wanted this like weight loss, or if I wanted to like follow the parameters of the program, it's like, what things could I eat to kind of help me stay in those points values for the day?
If those earlier, and even our current WW involvement, if I made things difficult for you, how did that come out? What, you know what I mean? Like, how did I make things difficult for your efforts to losing weight, if at all? I would assume I probably did.
Well, I would think, like, I mean, earlier on when we would join, I think we would kind of be like ready to do it, and we would do it, and we would see some results. I think what happened earlier in our joining was I was very committed to going to the meetings, and in those meetings it was almost all exclusively women.
Yes.
At least in our Saturday mornings.
I
now
I was also less polished then than I am now.
Right. And so you really would not want to go. Or you might go and weigh in, but you didn't want to stay. But I'd want to stay. Mm-hmm. But I think what we both did to each other, so again, it wasn't just you sabotaging me. But
well, but that's, I'm more interested in hearing that. Like, you know, if I were sabotaging you, so you're saying that not, are you saying that basically I would kind of give you a hard time about going to a meeting? Like, I don't want to go to the meeting tonight. Let's not go to the meeting. Or
I think it was more that we kind of like joined together, but then you were kind of like fading from wanting to go to the meetings. Like, you didn't want to block me necessarily, but you also didn't want to go.
So I kind of, it would, how would you describe my initial, you know, let's do Weight Watchers. You asked, like, let's do Weight Watchers. How would you describe my level of excitement, commitment, you know, for the first 2 or 3 months?
Well, I think when we were ready to join, in the times we've joined, we've both been, like I mentioned, at the end of our rope. Like, we kind of knew we had to do something. We had to stop this crazy train, you know? And I think we were committed to, like, doing it together, because while we would work separate and we'd have to control our food during the day on our own, you know, we would eat dinners together on the weekends, etc. So I think early on we were in it. But then I think what happened was we both started to see some success, you know, like we would you know, take off 20 pounds, you know, 30 pounds, whatever. But then the like eating out would creep back in, or maybe bring anything into the house.
How would that happen? The eating out, how would that creep back in?
I think some of it maybe was just out of, maybe it's a long day, we're tired, you know, we don't want to maybe make something out of the fridge. And so it's like, why don't we just go out and get something? But it wouldn't be just, well, we're just going to eat out this once. Then it would kind of spiral, I think. And I don't think you and I held each other accountable to no, we're not going to do that in the way that we did with this latest mm-hmm. time joining. Mm-hmm. Because I think there were times where I would say, like, oh, I really don't feel like, can we just go out or blah, blah. Or maybe we don't have anything in the house. Like, we just got back from a trip and there's nothing in the house. And there's been many times where you have said, well, let's go grocery shopping. Like, let's go to grocery shopping and let's get, you know, even if it's bag salads, let's get something that's easy, something that's quick. But let's not feel this, like, knee-jerk reaction to eat out.
Mm-hmm. I said that?
Yeah. You have said that several times.
I said that?
Yes.
Recently?
Like, in the past, like, 3 years, yeah, you would say that. Whereas I might be like...
I'm pretty smart, huh?
You are pretty smart.
How about that?
I think some of it, though, is I... And not that this has ever been, like, it's almost like an unwritten rule in some ways in our house, is that, for the most part, I'm kind of the dinner person. You know what I mean? Like, we might discuss what we're going to have or discuss what might be made or things like that. Well,
you're definitely a planner.
Right.
I am a, I know it's coming up. I'll figure it out when I get there. And
right.
But anyway, to your point, go ahead.
So my point is, I guess, so let's say I have a long day at work, but I didn't really plan anything for dinner. Mm-hmm. For me, my knee-jerk reaction in the past, but even maybe recently, is just like, well, let's just go get something to eat because it's easier. And it's like, you know, sometimes you're just done at the end of the day and you just want to go grab something. But you have kind of, especially this, you know, this last time with us joining, have just kind of said, like, well, let's just go get some groceries. Let's just go, even if it's, like I said, bag salad or something easy and quick, instead of that knee-jerk reaction to, like, go out. And that has helped me because my initial thing is to, well, let's just go eat. Because at least now I feel like I could go to a restaurant and order something that's, you know, points friendly. Mm-hmm. But I think there is also that temptation to sometimes get other things on both our parts. I'm guessing.
Yeah, my theory is different. My theory is that, you know, creep would, you know, we'll call it creep, drift, whatever. For me, I didn't really see it. When I look back, it wasn't really a drift like... you know, like when you're trying to get out of debt and, oh, well, we're out of debt and, you know, we don't have any loans or credit cards, and but we didn't cut up all of our credit cards. And before you know it, you're buying more and more things on a credit card that you couldn't otherwise pay cash for.
Right.
And then you're slowly going deeper into debt, right? If I think that, at least for me, I never really did the drift. It started off with a little bit of a drift, but eventually I found a current, and I was in the current, right? And I believe that those things would happen because in the back of my head, man, I just really want to get back to that. You know, I want to go back and I want to eat savory things. I want to eat super sweet things. I want to chase a salty food with a sweet food and vice versa. And I want to eat creamy things like ice cream.
Right. Well, and I think that's one thing that we have found with Weight Watchers. And although, you know, we're doing it together, I mean, it really is. So, yeah, there are certain things we eat together, dinner or stuff on the weekends. But, yeah, we are each in charge of our own, you know, our own breakfast, our own lunch, and what we kind of do during the day. But one thing I found that is different about us is you are an abstainer and I'm... what's the other term? Like, I can moderate.
You're a moderator.
Moderator. So, like, you, I know, are like, I can't eat chocolate because that's how it starts, or I can't eat ice cream, or I can't eat whatever, whereas a lot of those things...
It's not so much that I can't eat it. I certainly can't be around it constantly. So as an abstainer, and again, I think that my dedication to certain foods that when you eat too much of it becomes really bad for your body, I think that has a lot to do with what's kind of going on inside my head, you know, at a neurological level, right? The whole ADHD thing.
Right.
That I get like obsessive about certain tastes, certain textures, and, you know, it just causes my brain to light up like a pinball machine, and then I have a hard time not thinking about it anymore.
Right.
I can't just shut it off. Once it's in there, sometimes those food obsessions, they change on a dime, and I go from eating this almost exclusively to, you know, like it would be like fast food, right? I would be wholly dedicated to eating fast food at, like, well, just Burger King, right? And I would eat Burger King constantly, at least once a day, constantly. And then one day I'd be like, I don't want that. There's Jack in the Box. I'm going over there. And then, like, and it would get to the point where I'd be going through the drive-thru so often that even though they didn't know my name, they knew
your order.
They knew what I looked like based on what my order was.
Right?
Oh, I knew that was you. And I'd be like, oh, that's so nice. And I'm like, wow, that's so... I don't know if that is that sad. I don't even, you know, like, man, but... To an earlier point you made, like, when I'm in that state of mind, I let it go. I just let it go. I just set that idea adrift that maybe this isn't terribly helpful to me, and I know I'll be back tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, Weight Watchers says, you know, nothing is off. You can eat anything, right? You just got to track it and make sure that you stay within your points value for the day. But, you know, there's just... I won't go into a fast food restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Because that is... It's like a drug that I'm addicted to. And not that I think I'm addicted to it, but I become... I almost have like this allergic obsession to certain food that if I have it, oh, watch out. And so if I were a drug addict, right, and I kept buying drugs from my dealer, and then I quit, and then I found out that my drug dealer is still selling drugs, but he's also selling flowers, I wouldn't then go buy flowers from my drug dealer because eventually I start buying the drugs again.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if there are folks out there that can go to fast food restaurants and not have a problem with it, I say all the power to you. Fantastic. You
can
do that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, so again, like I've been kind of able to find, like, there are certain fast foods like I won't go to because I don't know that I can find a low points value, but like there are some things where like I've just kind of changed my order at certain places, and I know I can get, you know, something at this place for a couple points and it could be satisfying. But that's something that I'm able to kind of do,
right,
that you say that you just can't do, and that's fine. I mean, when we travel, we kind of know that about each other, so that's not a big deal. But if I'm gonna like grab lunch at the student center, I know I can have like a Chick-fil-A cool wrap for 4 points, you know. So
yeah, at work, you know, I've developed this reputation for not eating food that gets brought in. So like when somebody shows up with, like the other day, somebody showed up with this big tray of Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets and a big, like 3 or 4 trays of Chick-fil-A mac and cheese. And Chick-fil-A cookies and stuff.
And like it goes to the break room and you don't go anywhere.
I had already had lunch. And somebody who works in the building with me, who has always kind of been like, you know, hey, you should eat that. You should eat. You have some food. Eat something. You know. And I always say, no, I'm good. I can't. You know, well, not that I can't. I just don't want to. Not today. That type of thing.
Right.
And the other day, I went ahead and had a cookie. Mm-hmm. And again, I was asked, hey, did you get something to eat?
Right.
You should get, go get something, go get some food. And I went, well, I had a cookie. And he stopped and he looked at me and he went, that's awesome. Good for you, man.
Oh, man. Like,
well, you know, I mean, yes, that cookie was good, but
yeah.
Like if those cookies are in there all the time,
yeah,
you can't. It becomes more and more difficult.
Right.
Right. But anyhow.
That's a whole other conversation about sure. how yeah. we reward ourselves with food, how we yeah. celebrate with food,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not a proponent of the idea of food as an addictive substance, right? I think you can get kind of married to a behavior, right? Mm-hmm. If that behavior has a payoff to it, and people would say, you know, I might be asked, like, are you an emotional eater?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say yes. You know, I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. Right. I eat when I'm angry. I eat when I'm frustrated. Like, I eat. Like, really, it's almost like I might use the emotions as an excuse, but I'm not really saying to myself in my head, this food will make me feel better. It's more like I'm going to use it as an excuse. That's just me.
Yeah.
There may be folks out there that do that and say, yeah, I'm an emotional eater, and they eat because they're having a feeling, but I try to avoid that because it makes emotion almost bigger than one's ability to make a decision.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, any other ways that I might have sabotaged you, whether you thought it was intentional or just, you know, incidental?
Are there ways you're thinking of that I'm just wondering.
You know, I think it's an important conversation to have, like, because I think I mentioned in the first episode that, you know, we would start kind of putting little holes in the bottom of the boat.
Yeah.
And then before not too long, it was like, yep, got to abandon ship. You know, right. Get out of here.
I think the biggest thing, and I'm not just going to blame you. I think we're both to blame in that, like I said, I think the eating out would creep in. And then maybe bringing things into the home would creep in. You know, like our grocery order would change.
Yeah, we'd be walking around the grocery store, and I'd be like, I'm going to walk down this cereal aisle.
Right.
And then I'd grab, like, you know,
right.
Fruity Pebbles and, you know,
yeah.
all the stuff that tastes just fantastic and super sugary. And
if I think about something we do different now this time, this iteration that we didn't do in the past is, like I said, I'm able to moderate some things. So, like, one of the things is I'm not a huge cereal eater, but there are certain cereals that I like. Like, I like a cinnamon life, you know?
Right.
But, like, I don't know the last time I had cinnamon life. Like, I won't buy it. I won't bring it into the house. And even if it was kind of an unwritten or unsaid rule, I think we just kind of know that. I know that cereal for you is very tough. And it's not just cereal. It's the milk. It's all of that. So,
sure.
You know, even something like peanut butter. Like, once in a while, I may buy, like, the little individual peanut butters, not a big jar, but like the individual ones, and I'll keep them maybe somewhere where you don't know. But again, that's been like,
I shouldn't say that.
I know. But I mean, it's like
when I was a kid, it would be the annual, where did they hide the Christmas gifts this year?
Oh yeah.
And I would start to hunt.
Well, literally, I have not bought peanut butter in probably 2 years, but yeah. There were times when I would buy the little individual ones, mm-hmm. because, like, for me, peanut butter isn't so much of a problem. So, but again, like, I think we have worked with each other that we have been able to, and I think you said this in the first episode, is if we're having a problem food, like even something like popcorn, you know, like popcorn, we have an air popper, we can make it for, you know, more or less what Weight Watcher says, 0 points. But yeah, the problem was, is that I couldn't stop at just like a certain amount. Like I was definitely overeating popcorn at night, mm-hmm, which would make me feel lousy sleeping.
2 cups of popped popcorn, like
what? Like what's 2 cups? Yeah.
What? Yeah, like what chipmunk made that rule?
Yeah. And what I would do is I would kind of wake up in the morning almost feeling hungover. Yeah. And so again, there was a point where we were both like, we don't think we can control popcorn, so let's get it out of the house. And so we haven't bought it. And it was very difficult. This was just recently, but this was very difficult for me because I was kind of used to having popcorn as a snack. But now I'm kind of like, okay, like once in a while I'll be like, oh, I, you know, love some popcorn, but it kind of passes. So
What, if anything, did you learn about yourself and it kind of, it almost kind of sounds like a silly question. I don't mean it to be a silly question. I think it's an incredibly important question. But what did you learn about yourself just in the success of, I really love popcorn, but I recognize that it is not helpful towards my goals, so I'm going to remove it from the daily repertoire. It's not even going to be in the house anymore. Like, what did you learn about yourself?
Well, I just learned that, you know, there are certain things, I guess, that I can control and that I kind of can't control, you know? And
right,
not to, like, demonize any food. I don't like to call foods, like, good or bad. I don't like to call myself good or bad. But I'm not saying popcorn's a bad food, but for me, it was a food that I couldn't control. You know, like, I know that I cannot control, like, a big bag of chips. Now, could I get a Subway sub with, like, a little bag of chips and be fine? Sure. You know, and I know that a lot of times I'll get the baked Lays and they're, like, 4 points. Okay, great. But I know for myself, like, I cannot bring popcorn in the house, but I know I can also not bring, like, a big bag of chips or things like that. So I think I've learned the things that I can control and can't control. And so for that kind of abstaining in the house has helped me.
What was your thoughts when you kind of were like, yeah, I'm going to stay away from popcorn? And I remember myself saying, feel free to correct me if this is inaccurate, I remember saying, well, if you don't want it in the house anymore, we just won't have it in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because actually one of the members at our Saturday morning meeting said she had not had popcorn in like a year, even though she loves popcorn. And I thought to myself, oh God, I could never do that. I love popcorn. Mm. But then I got to a point where I realized I had to do that. But I also know another member who similarly almost can't control popcorn, and I think she had to kind of cut it off. And again, hey, it might not be forever. There might be a point when I might be able to, like, bring popcorn back into my life. But right now, it's just not the time.
But we love popcorn, but sometimes it doesn't love us back.
Yeah. And for me, I think what was happening was, and this was another thing that I heard from a member that really helped, was setting a timer for the evening, and then you're basically like done eating, you know, like the kitchen's closed, I'm done. And some of that has to deal with digestion before you sleep and the whole thing. But for me, I think what I was finding is when I wasn't kind of setting a time in my head, mm-hmm, or even on my cell phone, that I was like kind of just rummaging, like in the fridge, or like I said, I would have the popcorn, or I was like snacking, and it would just became a lot. You know what I mean? So, like, that nighttime eating is definitely something that I have to be careful of, because I don't even know how many points I could probably put away in the evening when it's like, well, are you just doing it because you're bored? Are you doing it because you're watching television? You know, like, why are you consuming food? So, for me, I kind of have to have, like, a time to, like, shut it off.
So we've been going since April of 2021, and I think it's okay to say that if we've missed a meeting locally, it's usually because we're out of town.
Yep.
And especially when we travel together, we try to make a meeting.
Yes, yeah.
Even if we've got to do like an on, I know you will just do online meetings just because you're like, I just need to kind of connect to the information.
Right. Sometimes I want to keep my head in the game. Like, we have a Saturday meeting. Sometimes I might do like a Monday night meeting just to kind of like
keep your head in the game. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think is, coming off that what you just said, like, so what, if there's more than one, feel free to share them, but what do you think is the biggest mindset shift for you in the last 3 years that you still maintain now?
I think the biggest thing is I truly have belief and have embraced that it is a lifestyle. Like, it's a forever thing, you know, and some people might think that's crazy because some people may join because they have an event coming up, mm-hmm. and whatever, that's fine, you know. But for me, as someone who was chronically overweight for a lot, more than half my life, I can't live in that world. I can't live in that world to just like look a certain way by a certain time, because the creep will happen. So I need to truly do this forever. And staying a part of Weight Watchers, like really being in it, like I said, you know, we go to the Saturday morning meetings, or we pick up a meeting when we're traveling, or I get an online meeting. But I'm in my app every day. Like, I'm always tracking. Like, I have to do it. And I'm not saying that I eat perfect, because I don't, because there are days where I go over my points. There are weeks where I'm in the negatives. But I feel like I'm still better off, though, than if I just said, hell with it.
So you, if I understand you correctly, in those weeks where you've gone over your points allotment, and does that mean like even like your weekly points?
Oh, yeah, like in the negatives.
So your regular daily points, you've gone through those. And then for those of you who don't know, you know, weeklies are kind of like, you know, I don't want to say bonus points, but they're almost like they're points that are kind of held back for you to not feel, panicked by going over your daily allotment. And so what you're saying, though, is that you try to take a more measured outlook, which is, I guess in a quick sentence, it could be so much worse than just going into the negative by a few points.
Yeah, or even there's been times where I've gone into the negatives more. You know, right. Like there's times where because of work events or, like I know, like when I have gone on my conferences, I'm eating foods that I typically wouldn't eat. And then maybe we're like hanging out socializing. So maybe I'm having a cocktail that I typically wouldn't have and things right. like that. And so I'm going into the negatives, but I'm still tracking. I'm still aware. I do try to still get my steps in. So like even when I was traveling this summer, I would still walk in the morning because I knew I had to get my walk in before anything happened because I was not going to have time during the day.
Right.
But I might have kind of not done as low points of a meal during the day, so maybe my points were higher. But like at least I knew, again, I'm still in the game. My head's still in it. I'm not perfect, but I'm still, you know, doing the plan.
So you don't sink the ship because there's water on the deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's really that quote, people, you know, progress over perfection. Like, yeah. Like if you think, well, I have to stay in my points and I have to track and I have to this and I have to that, or hell with it. It's like, okay, well, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about doing a little better than you did maybe the day before or maybe the week before. Like, it's just doing, you know, like you said, it's better to do something than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I think of all the times that I've lost weight and then gained it back and then gained it back plus more, you know, you kind of keep doing that. And I think, you know, part of the reason is that, you know, we only know what we know and we don't know what we don't know, right? And it's sometimes you got to forgive yourself for just not having the information, right? And one of the things I shared was, you know, I was told, hey, you want to lose weight? Starve yourself, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of effective, but all I understood was not slight caloric deficit,
right?
But drastic, radical caloric deficit, unhealthy caloric deficit, right? That just was not really helpful. And while it still yielded results on the scale, it didn't translate into any new knowledge that I could generalize for the rest of my life.
Right.
And for me, I think it, you know, when you go through something and you take away a lot of lessons from whatever that something is, and you can generalize the things you've learned to other areas of your life,
mm-hmm.
to me, that is the sign of whatever that was for you. Wow, that's almost kind of like part of your rules for living in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you and I committed to getting out of debt a few years ago, and we did that prior to 2021.
Right.
And I have always kind of maintained that I don't think that I would have had any success, and by success I mean maintaining weight loss. That's it. You know, maintaining the weight loss.
Right.
For 3 years without having to have become disciplined to get out of debt, right? And so,
well, can I actually say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was kind of thinking like a little bit full circle moment here. So I had mentioned, you know, after my mother passed that I, you know, ate a lot, grief eating and all that. And I was thinking about how you and I started Weight Watchers in April of 2021.
Right.
And about 6 weeks into us doing this, my brother passed away. And I remember thinking, one, I was so glad we were like committed to this program, because if we weren't, I don't know what my actions would have been, you know, in that grieving process. But because we were already committed to Weight Watchers and because we were already kind of doing it, I was able to kind of keep myself on track and like kind of continue to eat, you know, according to the program. So I didn't let that derail me the way I had let, you know, another death caught, you know, have me eating. So
right. And I think that, you know, that's a great point.
Like that, were you talking about learning?
Yeah.
I think that's what I had learned, is that these things are going to happen. You know, we are going to lose people in our lives and we are going to be sad. And it doesn't mean that we don't grief eat for a while or things like that. But you know what? I think I've learned that that doesn't solve anything. It mm-hmm. just kind of makes you, you know, you're sad, and then it makes you probably not feel great, especially if you've been eating a certain way, and then you, if you've been eating healthy, and then you eat, you know, unhealthy things. But I just learned that, you know, I just kind of can't do it, like I said, like with the mindset thing. Like, it is a lifestyle, and so I can't let things, you know, when bad things happen, I can't let that disrupt my efforts, because right. I still got to, you know, continue this life of my own, you know, and got to continue to do the things that for me are the most helpful, and the things that help my numbers stay good with the doctor. And so,
to that point, life is going to happen, as they say.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of get it into my head that I have to accept the fact that there's nothing out there that is bigger than my own health.
Yeah.
There's no... there's no situation, there's no life event, there's no good or bad. There's just nothing bigger than my own health. And so for us, going on vacation is we bring our lifestyle with us to vacation. And so we don't compromise.
We don't take a vacation.
As Bob Wiley from the movie What About Bob would say, take a vacation from our problems. We don't do that.
Right. We don't take a vacation from our lifestyle, though, either.
Right. We don't take a vacation from the things that are going to enhance our lives. And, you know, hopefully that continues, right? Okay, so what do you think, how long have we been going?
Like an hour, 20.
Okay, so we'll try and wrap this up. This can always, obviously, I think we live in the same house.
So we do, we can do we part can
always,
two.
We can always charge up the microphones again to continue this. But what would you tell somebody who is thinking about Weight Watchers and they're on the fence, like, you know, WW, you know, I don't know, I've heard some things about WW, right? Like, I don't know if it's for me. What would you tell that individual?
Well, I think any, you know, behavior modification program will work if you work it. Now, the thing with Weight Watchers, what I have found is that I feel like it's pretty easy, and I feel like one of the things I really love is being able to track the points. So, you know, I've had a few students ask me about, like, well, what would be the points value of this? Maybe a certain fast food item or things like that. And, you know, tell them, and then they say, well, how many points do you get a day? Oh my gosh, you know, that one burger is like eating all your points in one day. And it's like, yeah. So that information is at your fingertips. And I really do like that. So, I mean, I would tell someone if they're on the fence, just try it, you know, try to do it. But also the important part of trying it is also getting that support. So is that support through a weekly meeting in person? Is that support through an online meeting? Is that support from your spouse who's maybe not doing Weight Watchers, or maybe doesn't have a weight problem, but maybe telling that person, like being honest with the people in your life, like, I really need you to not bring X, Y, and Z into the house because it's a temptation for me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to eat better because, as you said, you know, like, there's a point where we have to take responsibility for our own health. You know what I mean? Like, it's nobody else. We can't blame anyone else. Like, we're the ones who eat. We're the ones who decide, you know, our activity levels and that kind of thing. So it's like, but I think the important part is you need to be honest with the people around you. You need to tell the people around you what you need. And if you need to not have certain foods in the house, you need to tell your person that. Yeah, and I would just say, try not to give up on yourself. You know, try to show up for yourself and try to do the best you can. It's, as I said before, it's not perfection. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And also probably don't have a wait and a date. Like, don't be like, by December, I want to be blah, blah, blah. And it's like, because life never works.
I got
to
get into that tux, or I got to get into that dress.
Yeah. Because life never works. I mean, sure, do I want to lose 75 pounds in, you know, 6 months? Of course you do, you know. We want it to come off, but usually we can recognize that a lot of it didn't go on overnight. So we also have to recognize that it's not going to come off overnight. But really, it's that consistency over time which will lead to, I think, long-term weight loss, but also maintenance of that weight loss.
Is there a quote or an idea that is kind of something that's always in the back of your mind during a difficult moment that helps you work through the moment and make a choice that benefits your health?
Well, it's funny because I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and so sometimes people say things that, you know, resonate with me. And one that I shared at the meeting was, this is where weight loss happens. So, like, if you're having a moment where you, maybe there is something emotional and you really want to eat, or maybe, you know, someone has brought donuts into the break room or things like that, if you kind of just remind yourself, like, by maybe not choosing to eat what's in the break room, or maybe, like, eating your lunch instead of eating what's in the break room, or not choosing to eat emotionally, maybe you're going to go on a walk instead. It's like, if you think to yourself, well, this is where weight loss happens, you know, like, I'm making these choices for myself. It doesn't mean that weight loss is going to show up on the scale maybe that week, but long term it will. If you continue to make things, if you continue to make choices that are in your best interest, it will eventually show up.
Do you want to share how much weight you've lost in the last 3 years?
Yeah, I'm down about 81 pounds.
81. Congratulations.
Thank you. Not at Lifetime yet. Hope to be there one day soon. I don't have a time limit. I'll get there when I get there.
That's right. Lifetime, you know, having, I guess, gotten on the scale and someone said you're at your goal weight, you know, and then you do your, you know, you got to weigh in.
That's 6 weeks maintenance.
Like 5 or 6 weeks to make sure that it doesn't come back on. Like, I can tell you that every, you know, green still looks green, and blue
right.
still
nothing
looks
really
blue.
Changes.
Nothing really changes, other than maybe, I guess maybe somebody, like for me, I've never really achieved that type of goal, right?
Right.
And so having hit it, I think if I had hit it when I was in my 20s or in my 30s, I would still be back starting again for right. the 14th time at Weight Watchers, just because my, you know, my experience hasn't informed me. And so
I will say, I mean, I realize that Lifetime isn't the end. I think sometimes people think it might be the end. It's definitely not the end. In some ways, some of the members have said it is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it's truly that.
But not in a negative way.
No.
I think sometimes it's said, like, you know, your problems are just starting. Like, it's been said, I've heard it said in that kind of, like, boy, you know, it's really going to stink from here on in.
Right.
And I've not found that to be true, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's really just that maintenance. And if there's anything, I mean, we've talked about, is that that has been the biggest struggle of our lives, in a way. We can lose the weight.
Yeah.
We can gain the weight.
Yeah.
But can we maintain the weight? Yeah.
We turn into fat detective.
Yes.
We lose it, and then we're like, we must find it. Where did we place it?
Right. So, I mean, even the fact that I'm not at Lifetime, but I've been doing this program over 3 years, mm-hmm. I've lost a certain amount of pounds, but I've been in the same size for, like, I think 2 years now. And even though I do have that fear attempt sometimes, like when seasons change and it's like I'm going to winter clothes or I'm going to summer clothes, and I think, ooh, am I going to fit in my summer clothes? I still do.
Right.
So, I'm not at Lifetime. I still have more to go, but 2 years maintaining a clothing size, mm-hmm. I mean, I've never had that.
Like, you know, I was almost kind of preparing myself. Like, I really believed I could do it, number one, right? Once I got it in my head what behaviors were going to be most beneficial, and once I was committed to doing it in a less disordered way, so to speak, I started running through it in my head. I really started practicing. I would even practice in my head being on the scale for weigh-in, and the number went up from the last weigh-in. Mm-hmm. Practice that in my head, and what am I going to tell myself if that ever happens?
Right. You know?
And
yeah, because we talk over and over. It isn't, even though we talk about weight and how much we lost and all that, we also talk about non-scale victories.
Yeah.
And like, that's one thing we really haven't talked about during this podcast time. But like, those things can be crazy. And I know we've talked about like literally going on a plane and me like. I know now that, like, I don't have to panic as to whether that seatbelt is going to buckle.
Right.
And I have in the past, you know. I think there are times where I can even get my brain back there and think, like, is this going to? And then it just confirms, no, like, you are in a smaller body,
yeah.
You know. So, and, like you mentioned, your medical numbers, your doctor, those kind of things. I mean, we know that. It's so much more than that number on that scale.
Right. I think we'll end it there. I think that's a healthy, 90 minutes?
Hmm.
And obviously this is probably going to be, you know, my hope is that nobody is really going to be one and done. If anybody else agrees to be on this,
yeah.
That, you know, we're going to kind of hear from folks more than once, hopefully more than twice, you know?
Right, because we're not one and done. It continues to be a journey.
Right. So, well, thank you for your candor and your willingness to share. If you out there listening would like to be a part of this and sit and chat, you can email me. We have a new email address for the podcast.
Oh, we do.
We do. It is weighinwithpatrick@gmail.com. And that's weighinwithpatrick@gmail.com. Weigh in with Patrick. Stay tuned. I'm gonna come back and just maybe share a thought or two. But Courtney Hull, you are awesome. Thank you again.
You're awesome.
And thank you for letting me buy two microphones and an audio interface. You're the best. I love you.
I love you. Thank you.
I once read an interesting book. It said that most people lost in the wilds, they die of shame.
What?
Yeah. See, they die of shame. What did I do wrong? How could I have gotten myself into this? And so they sit there and they die. Because they didn't do the one thing which would have saved their lives.
And what is that, Charles?
Thinking.
That was a scene from a movie that I've always really liked, called The Edge with Anthony Hopkins. Alec Baldwin is in it. And they're lost in the wilderness, and people are starting to panic. And it's at that point where Anthony Hopkins kind of just shares that little piece of information that's has always kind of stuck in my head. That sometimes we make a mistake, we don't make a good choice, we start to beat ourselves up, and then we freeze, we flounder, we sometimes we'll even start doing things to make things worse for ourselves. And that's just instead of actually taking a moment and thinking about what just happened. What am I going to do next time? I think that's always important. And it really, I think, speaks to this idea. You know, and I think Courtney was talking about this a little bit. And maybe I verbalized this to folks before, but I really believe it. And that is your all those failures, all those times you messed up. You heard us talking earlier about it's not only our, you know, third, fourth, fifth time doing Weight Watchers. But Courtney even talked about having attempted weight loss like 15 times. And I'm definitely in that range. And I had mentioned at some point that, you know, if I had achieved lifetime, you know, my goal weight in my 20s or 30s, I'm relatively confident that I would have put that weight back on plus, and I would have kind of kept going. And that would just keep repeating for a while. And the reason is that, you know, in my advanced age, I have the benefit of all that experience. So somebody once said that, you know, the fool learns from their own mistakes and the wise man learns from the mistakes of others. And, you know, you're listening to the voice, quite possibly, of the biggest fool on whoever lived. You know, when we think about that, when we apply that. And that being said, I had to fail a bunch of times. You know, Thomas Edison, the inventor, used to say, basically, I'm going to paraphrase, I'll probably butcher his quote, but, you know, the light bulb is the product of 10,000 failures, right? And I always try to think about, well, what the heck does that mean, 10,000 failures? And, well, let's just kind of say for a second that, he would make an adjustment and then flick the switch and see if the thing would work. And if he did that once a day, it would take him, basically 3 years of failure, right? But every time he fell short, every time it didn't do what, he had hoped, he saw that, all right, well, I can cross that off the list. That's not going to be effective, you know? And so I think the idea is that the blueprint for your success with weight loss or really anything lies in your past failures, if you will. And I say failures in quotation marks, right? Some people fail to even try. Some people fail to even make an effort. Or some people fail to believe that they are capable of doing something like perhaps what you're trying to do right now. And so don't let a setback go wasted. Learn from it. Think about what just happened and how will you apply what you just learned for a future event. What is it in that little moment where you didn't act in a way that you're pleased with? What do you see? What led to it? What were you thinking right before you acted? Did that invoke some type of emotional response in the moment that caused you to behave that way? If that is the case, then perhaps getting to work on addressing the thought. So you're going to get there as long as you keep trying. And you heard from Courtney today, basically, you know, she thinks she's a ways away from lifetime. And I've had to tell her a couple times, like, have you done the math? I remember the first time I asked her that, she didn't understand what I was talking about. And she's more than halfway there. That's the thing. She's beyond that. She's beyond the Rubicon. She's beyond the point of no return, really. She would have to travel farther to go back to the beginning than to get to the end, right? So that just a little word of encouragement. If you've been struggling, just remember, if you hadn't tried at all, how far behind the eight ball would you be? Would you have continued to gain weight? And so even if you've lost, let's say you've only lost 5% of what your goal is, right? Well, that's pretty awesome. Let's say you've lost only 5% of your goal and you've been doing this for a year. And what? My guess is that there's other areas that we can look at that you're probably doing pretty well. Don't just look. It's never one thing. It's never just one thing. So look at the areas that you are doing well. In areas you wish you could improve upon, maybe it's time to start being perhaps a little more reasonable with your expectations. One step forward is better than no steps forward. One step forward is better than three steps back. Don't die of shame, right? So, until next episode, thank you for listening. If you have listened to the whole thing, I do want to make a quick correction to the email address. If you want to send us an email, that email address is weighinginwithpatrick. weighing. I forgot to add the ing there. weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. We'll likely be at the Saturday meeting in Rock Hill at 9 a.m. Hope to see you there. If you're thinking, oh, why bother going? Well, don't rob other people of the opportunity to support you. That's all I'll say this time. You have a great day, evening, whatever. Hang in there. God bless.